Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back. Flow Track Podcast, August 24th. Day 6 of Worlds. I'm your host, Gordon, alongside Olivia. Olivia, how you doing?
You know, I feel like I'm better than you. I'm not negative right now. So,
yeah, we'll get into that.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm still losing some money, but I am up. So, no, not up. I'm up on the day. So, I actually made $50 today. I was down $275. Now, I'm only down $225. I went two and three in my picks, got the two field event picks correct, and then my three track events, wasn't good. But it's okay. 3 days to go. There's still a lot of events on the track. We still have a lot of finals. We got the 200s tomorrow, 800s, 5Ks, 4x4s, 4x1s. Make all the money on the 4x4. Just put my entire life savings on the men's and women's 4x4 on the U.S. side. So we'll get into that. But first, we want to thank our sponsors, Wonderful Pistachios. Olivia, what do you have to say about Wonderful Pistachios?
Well, they are a delicious and nutritious snack that is packed with real protein. Get that little punch there at the end, Gordon. So crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It is one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and better-for-you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep you feeling fuller longer, especially, hey, we're going through long days worth of world championships, so got to make sure you are fueled up. But that's not the best part about it. Wonderful Pistachio comes in a variety of flavors, sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends while you watch the world championships, while you're getting out there, dropping the kids off at school, going in between meetings. This is the best way to fuel up with a healthy and tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack, so check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these wonderful green wonders can power up your day.
Wonderful. Literally, that was a wonderful way of reading the ad read, and also Wonderful Pistachios. Let's get into it. We had five finals today. Women's 400 hurdles, men's 400, women's 100 hurdles, men's long jump, and women's hammer throw. Which one do we want to talk about first? Which one? What goes in our A block from among those?
Our A block, I think this men's 400.
Men's 400. Final. All right.
That was wild.
Break it down for us.
Let's break it down. There was a lot of reshuffling going on this last 100 meters, but pretty much like Hudson Smith looked very strong throughout the course of that race. But again, like I said, the 100 meters, it was just like, whoop, that's not how this is going to finish. Karani James was also in the middle position, ending up dropping a little bit there. Watson comes away with a gold medal, 44-22. Hudson Smith, 44-39. But I think the interesting part about this was, I know you had a bet. I think that Hall, you said Hall was going to win gold, right? Or who did you have winning gold? Or what was your bet for this 400?
No, I had Vernon Norwood getting a medal.
But
when I said it, though, I was like, I'm a big fan of Quincy Hall. Gotcha. I should have gone with my fandom and not my brain. I messed that one up.
Gotcha.
Because America went 3-4.
It was very close because Quincy Hall originally coming off that turn, like, was barely in the, like, he was outside of that lead pack there. And all of a sudden you could just see him pumping his arms, his face. He was just pure determination all over his entire body. 44-37 to get the bronze. Norwood just clipped at the finish line there with a 44-39. And, you know, throughout the broadcast, they were saying how Norwood, and kind of like what we talked about over the last week, like Norwood is someone that just has been making teams. He's been making the teams and just couldn't come away with an individual medal this evening for them in Budapest, afternoon for us here in Austin, Texas. So I just felt like there was a lot of things going on that last 100 meters. It was just absolutely nuts. But what were your thoughts as you're watching this one lap race go off?
Now, obviously, I was following it for my bet, but I was also following the front and seeing Antonio Watson do what he did coming out of, like, this field. If you include the semifinals, you had Stephen Gardner, you had Wade Van Niekerk, mm-hmm. the world record holder, you had Karani James, a perennial medalist, you had Hudson Smith, who was a defending global medalist. And for Watson to be the last one standing when he had this field of a bunch of elite guys with long history of experience at the global championship level, and Watson's the one that, like, I don't think any, if you look at that list, you had to do a poll of 100 people, 100 track fans, and you're given a list of Hudson Smith, Van Niekerk, Karani James, and Stephen Gardner, and throw in a Michael Norman before he scratched. Mm-hmm. How many of those 100 would have been like Antonio Watson is winning the 2023 World Championship final? I don't think anyone. I think zero out of 100 would have picked him going into these championships to win gold. And we probably should have seen a little bit of a preview of it coming because he ran a stellar semifinal. We'll see what his semifinal time is. In his semifinal, he ran 44-13. A PB, actually faster than what he ran today. And looking back on it, you think, oh, he's putting too much into the semis. It's going to come back to haunt him in the final. But it didn't. He had the strength. He was able to hold off a bunch of experienced pros and gets his first global gold. Antonio Watson, am I being honest? I don't even know. He's not like the first – Jamaican 400 meter runner I think of. Because Jamaica, and they're not going to want to hear this, they haven't been a big influence on the men's 400 for a long time. It's been the U.S. mainly, and then a bunch of other countries coming in and out. You might see a Botswana guy come in, obviously South Africa with Van Niekerk, a British guy, Trinidad and Tobago can throw down some fast 400s. But for Jamaica to win gold and what some would argue is supposed to be at least a North American event is pretty impressive. And I was surprised, but now the surprise has to go away. Now you just got to expect it. Antonio Watson going into 2023, no one knew of him. I mean, people in Jamaica did, but I didn't. And now I know. And now he's forever going to be on my list of people to keep an eye out in 2024 and 2025. So I was very impressed with Antonio Watson's coming out party here in Budapest.
Mm-hmm. Also, I feel like something we should highlight, Karani James, 44-52. Wade Van Niekerk grabbing that last spot, 45-11. He looked solid through the rounds. I honestly was kind of shocked to see Wade Van Niekerk perform the way that he did in this final today.
Yeah, and then Karani James actually got DQ'd, Olivia. I'm not sure if you noticed. The updated results. So he got DQ'd. Mm-hmm. The world record holder gets dead last. The defending Olympic champion, Stephen Gardner, doesn't make the final, and Karani James DQ'd. It's crazy. It seems like a changing of the guard before our eyes. You see Quincy Hall in his first world championship get a medal. Matthew Hudson-Smith now going back-to-back medals. Antonio Watson, a no-name, now being the gold medalist going into 2024. This could be the end. Is this the end of an era?
Careful.
Is this the end of the Van Niekerk, Karani James, Stephen Gardner era?
Oh, no.
I don't know. I mean, but maybe it's the end of the era, 2 out of 3. I think it is safe to say 2 out of those big 3 of Van Niekerk, James, and Gardner will not medal. Will not finish top 5. You know what? Maybe not even make a final. I don't know. I can see it. Things happen. Your 400 prime is sometimes pretty short. Van Niekerk is an albatross in a way for him to be dominating or be in the mix from 2017 all the way to 2023, even with that injury in the middle. You see Michael Norman, who's kind of shying away from the 400 now. He's like, I got to get into sprints. Fred Curley left the 400. The 400 isn't an event that you stay in for long. This could be the end of Van Niekerk, James, maybe Gardner, but Gardner I'm more confident in. But
I wonder what LaShawn Merritt would have to say about that.
Yes, there's always one who can withstand the go against the grain and buck the norm for sure. But I don't know. Van Niekerk,
I wouldn't say when it comes to Fred Curley, I wouldn't say that he's just like, hey, I'm just not feeling the four. I think he wanted to showcase dominance in another event. Like, I don't think he was just like, I'm tired of running the four. I'm just going to switch events here. I think he wanted to prove to a lot of people and probably to himself that he can become one of the world's best 100, 200, 400 runner.
Yeah, but I also do. There's a factor, though. Training for the 400 year after year after year is freaking hell. The 400 is the punishment you give to all the kids in high school at the end of a meet because they weren't, paying attention during the track meet. So they all have to run the 4x4. So these athletes, their career is the punishment for everyone else running a 400. And maybe because of that, it's harder to have longevity. It's hard to do that over multiple Olympic cycles. Whereas in the 1 and 2, you can extend your career. And I think that was actually a big percentage of the pie of the reason why Curley abandoned the 4. Because he was like, all right, do I want to burn out early in my career by being a dominant 400 meter runner? Or do I want to try to extend it and plus have the prestige of being in a more marquee event? I think the brutalness of training for 400 could have been also a factor.
Maybe.
But maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not. I'm leaning toward the maybe not. Now, to kind of go back to your question of the 2 of the 3, I don't know. I feel it's tough, right? Like, Wade Van Niekerk, we've seen break the world record in this 400, battle through injuries, trying to get back into it. And that's tough. I feel like that's really difficult to overcome. So Wade Van Niekerk, I feel like, is my wild card. Now, when it comes to like Karani James, my personal opinion, I still feel like he's still there. He still makes it to these finals, which, that's what's important. You got to get into that final to go after those medals. Again, we just didn't see him come up on top. He was in contention, and then we just had a lot of shifts happening in that last 100 meters. And then Stephen Gardner, what happened in the semis, just broke my heart. I feel like Stephen Gardner is not done. Like, I can see him coming back. I don't know how severe that injury was, especially with him, getting taken off with a wheelchair. That leads me to believe it was really, really challenging for him to just kind of, get out of that situation a little bit. So I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer, but I feel like Stephen Gardner is probably someone that will come back along with Karani James. Wade Van Niekerk, I feel like, I don't know. It's just difficult.
Ooh, are you optimistic, Olivia? Positive Olivia is now. Are you burying? Are you saying Wade Van Niekerk is it's done?
I don't say he's done.
Oh, you got be on one side.
I don't think it's over.
He's done and he's not done.
I don't think he's done. It's just I don't see us seeing the Wade Van Niekerk that we saw when he broke the world record. I can still see him making finals, but I don't. We're not going to see a blazing fast time.
How old is Wade? He is 31.
Okay.
It's getting up there. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But again, congrats, Antonio.
Yes.
And to Matthew Smith Hudson and to Quincy Hall. Up next, let's talk about the women's 400 hurdles. Okay. This, obviously, it's not the same. There was no Sydney. We talked about in the 400 where there was no Sydney. You could talk about the 400 hurdles where there's no Sydney. Sydney's that good that she becomes the topic in the races that she's not in. I think this was an opportunity for Femke Bol to potentially try to lower her personal best. She doesn't. She still runs dominating. She wins by over a second. She runs 51.70. Not even a season's best. That's how good she is. 51.70 is not a season's best. Think about that. It's insane.
Yeah.
Shamir Little, she's been consistent, takes advantage of the opportunity, gets second. Rochelle Clayton gets third, which is Jamaica got a lot of medals today. They got
They did.
Two in the long jump. They got one in the hurdles. They got one in the 400 and then another one here in the 400 hurdles. It's five Jamaican medals in one day. Pretty good day for the country of Jamaica. But yeah, Clayton runs a PB, runs 52.81. Kemi Adekoya of Bahrain got fourth. Anna Cockrell fifth. Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. It was two things going on. You had the race for second, and then you had how fast will Femke Bol run. And I think there's a little disappointing. Kind of wanted maybe a little faster Femke Bol to see something special. If she goes out there and runs like 51 flat, you get excited about 2024 against her and Sydney. And then Shamir Little getting second, 52.80. You're like, all right, that's pretty damn good. But you know, it's not even a PB for her. She probably could go a bit faster. I don't know. This kind of seemed like an event that just felt like an average event. It wasn't special to me, right? Did you find it special? I mean, obviously, it's great seeing an American get a medal, but we just know what this event could be. We've seen what this event's been in 2019, in 2021, and 2022. The women's 400 hurdles was a top two event at the global championships. In 2023, it's just another event.
Yeah. No Dalila Muhammad.
Yep.
No Sydney.
And no fast time.
It was like the question I think became how fast was Bol going to run. That was the question I had going into them, having the ladies line up coming out of the tunnel. That was my big question. Then the next question, like you said, was, okay, who's this battle going to be for second and third? Who's also getting on this podium? And I think I'm super excited for Shamir Little. She's been training super hard all season long. Also a former teammate of mine too. And just like the fact that she, in her semifinal round interview, was just like happy with the performance that she put together. She's like, it's going to have to be another, it's going to be another fast time. Another 52 in the books for her. Gets her silver. Round of applause for Shamir Little there. And then Clayton, as you mentioned, 52.81 for third. But yeah, it was kind of like one of those events where it was like, all right, how fast is Bol going to go today? And who's grabbing the other two medals? It's kind of how I felt a little bit with the women's 400 final yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, Sydney's happening.
Yeah.
And then, okay, cool. Awesome. Very proud of all the performances. But, like, I think we're just so used to, like you mentioned, Gordon, just seeing the tight competition and the battles happening, the punches going through, just wasn't there.
When you have that really good drug and then you go out to something else, you just miss it. You miss that dopamine. You miss that euphoria. And Sydney is the ultimate euphoria for track and field. And she was just absent from her two events. So it's no matter what, it was going to be a downer. Nothing against these women. They're all putting together phenomenal performances. But from the fan perspective, we know what these two events can be. And we just knew going in that we weren't going to get it. And hopefully we get it in 2024, which I'm sure we will, because I think Sydney probably will attempt the double, which would be fun. So moving on, women's 100 hurdles. Upset here. We looked at the big three as Jasmine Camacho-Quinn, Kenny Harrison, and Toby Amisan. And then, of course, none of them win. It is Danielle Williams getting the victor. She's 30 years old. She won a title a long time ago. What's it, 2019 or 17?
Didn't they say like 8 years? I think they, maybe 15? I think the broadcast said 8 years ago.
She won in 15?
Don't quote me, though. Don't quote me.
Yeah. No, quote, yeah, quote me. You can quote me. 8 years, quote me. I'll take the credit. You can quote me. Danielle Williams wins it. It's not that fast of a time compared to what we saw in the prelims. It's weird. You see 12 twos and 12 threes, and then the finals, you see 12 fours. And
did they have a slight headwind? We know if they had a headwind.
Yeah, 0.2.
Oh, okay.
0.2.
I don't know.
Kenny Harrison getting third, I think, is the story here. After looking so good in the first two rounds, she's still waiting for that elusive gold medal. She's now won two medals at the global championships, I believe. And she's still going to be crawling and fighting for that first gold. And she'll be in the running in 2024. But you got to think, what else could she have done? She had two great first rounds and then just loses it here by 0.03.
That's tough. It's really hard. I don't know what she could have done differently, because I believed and agreed in how she approached each round, right? She was very vocal, saying she's all in, leaning in every round. I'm executing each race. That way your body's in tune and it's not coming to a shock from running slower intentionally in those rounds, and then all of a sudden you want to put something together in a final. I felt like what she did to prepare herself was everything she could have done, and I was all in support of that. I don't know. It could have been, I don't know. She's been in these situations before, but each year it's something different. Here you're lining up against the fastest woman in the world and grabbing third. And then Jasmine Camacho-Quinn, I felt like, ran a great race as well, grabbing that silver. So I don't know. I really don't know what Kenny Harrison could have done differently. I thought she did everything right.
Camacho-Quinn had a good race, just left a little too much real estate for Williams to hold on to the lead. But yeah, I think it's just like we saw a world record last year in this event. And then you just see a final run in 12:44. You're like, oh, these women, I want to see 12 twos, 12 threes, but you know, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah. So,
anyway, let's keep going. Lots of semifinals and prelims happening here. We'll start with the sprinting events. Women's 200, no surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby Thomas, though, fastest in her of the meet, wants 21.96. Mm-hmm. Looks like she's chilling, looks fresh. Dina Asher-Smith gets through. Julian Alfred in the second heat. Looks like she struggled to win. She had a really fight in the latter part of her race. Clearly, she has those tired legs from collegiate action. And then Sharika Jackson and Sha'Carri Richardson both look comfortable going through in their heat. Tolu as well gets through. So Sharika Jackson, Sha'Carri Richardson, and I would say Gabby Thomas. That's the three right now, right? I don't think there's anyone who's flirting with the breaking up that big three. And all right, so I've been up and down. I'll throw it to you after I've been up and down. So after the 100, I was like, I think Sha'Carri's going to win. Then after her first race. In the 200, I was like, I really now think she's going to win. And then now after the semifinal, I think she's going to lose. So I've been like high on it. And then now I think she's going to lose. Because Sharika Jackson looked like she was walking.
And what did Liv say going into these rounds?
I forget. Remind me and the audience. You know, sometimes you do podcasts, you're thinking about what you're going to say next, goodness. And you forget to listen to your colleague. So what did you say?
What Liv said was Sharika Jackson, Gabby Thomas.
Those are the top and I think I need to listen contenders. To you more often.
I said that, I think, after Sha'Carri won the 100. I think I said that going into Worlds, honestly, now that I think about it. Like, here's the thing. Gabby What's Thomas, she's ready. Like, she's ready to put something down, probably faster than what we saw at Trials. The only thing I would even suggest for her is the turn just has to be a little bit cleaner. Just, I'm talking a hair of just like touching it up a little bit. I felt like her closing speed was there. Her closing strength was there. It was very, very evident. I'm happy that Dina Asher-Smith was in that race with Gabby, because Dina like is known for her turn running. That woman knows how to win titles. She won the world title back in 2019 in Doha. She knows how to execute a turn. Gabby Thomas was still right there, was able to close on Dina Asher-Smith. So if Gabby Thomas could have a explosive, the turn of her life for this final, she's going to have Sharika Jackson running for gold, like chasing. She's going to be, as you say, pulling her for gold, right?
Sharika Jackson. Pulling who for gold? Wait, you're saying Gabby Thomas is going to take Sharika Jackson to gold or take herself to gold?
Well, I think Gabby Thomas, the way how she looked, if she can clean up that turn, she's going to be the gold medalist.
You think
she's going to be pulling Sharika Jackson, as you would say.
And Sharika will get second. So you think you're announcing to the entire country of Jamaica that Sharika Jackson is going to lose.
If Gabby
Thomas,
second
fastest woman ever in this event.
If Gabby Thomas can clean up the turn. That's the only thing.
Will she clean up the turn?
Well, that's up to Gabby Thomas.
Okay.
That's up to
Gabby
Thomas.
Will? Do you think she will clean up the turn?
I think she will. I think she will.
Okay. So you think she's going to win gold?
I think she will. Okay. Gabby Thomas.
And Sharika second.
Sharika Jackson, though. It's going to be a battle. Gonna be a battle. I put Sha'Carri. I put Sha'Carri third. I see Sha'Carri getting a medal.
So third, and then Sharika second, and Gabby first.
Yes.
Are you locking it in? Locking it in.
It's locked. It's locked in.
Can't change it.
I said it live. Okay. Now I need to know your thoughts. Now that I've just literally broke down what needs to change for the final, what is your top three?
Yeah, so I think you know. I agree. Those are the three. I don't think there's any situation where those aren't the three. I do think Sha'Carri's going to get third. You know, I can also see Sha'Carri also might. If I think Sha'Carri, this is the weird thing about Sha'Carri. If I think she's going to get third, that means she's not going to get third. It means she's either going to get first or like seventh.
If I
visualize her and I'm like, this looks like a third place performance. The way she is, she's going to turn my look of a third place performance into a win or like seventh, you know? Because I feel like she's a very like binary type runner. You either get greatness or you just kind of get like when she lost to Kayla White in that 200 in early in the season, right? So when I think that she's going to get third, that means she's really actually going to get first or seventh. Which means I have to think ahead on that. But that means if I think she's going to get first, I'm going to be wrong on that. I'm going through the whole process in my mind, Olivia.
I see.
And then
Eventually right, we will get an answer from Gordon.
I'm going Sharika Jackson 1, Gabby Thomas 2, Sha'Carri Richardson 3. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. So we're in agreement. Bronze for Sha'Carri.
Yeah, but I think Sharika wins. Sharika's good.
Sharika is good.
She looked like she was running so slow.
I know.
Which was...
She looked like she was just going for a Sunday stroll.
Yeah.
In the park. On a nice, beautiful day in Jamaica.
I got it. I'm going to go with Sharika. I'm going to believe it. Sharika, Gabby, Sha'Carri. That's my order.
Okay.
And you're going
locked in.
Gabby, Sharika, Sha'Carri.
Yes. Locked in. No more changes.
I got to make my bet on that too. I got to place my bet. Hopefully the odds for Sharika winning are good because that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
All right. Men's 200.
Full of drama.
Okay. All right. Oh, hold on. This was not that serious of a thing that happened. Okay.
Are you kidding me?
The broadcast was like blown out of proportion, saying there's been an incident with the golf carts and there's doctors.
Gordon.
And they're talking and they're moving the heats around. It was a little fender bender. That's all it was. It was a little fender Gordon. Bender. No one was hurt. It was
Andrew
fine.
Hudson had glass in his eye.
That's it was all blown out of proportion.
I definitely
they were like, ooh, the fastest man in the world is in some unique situation. Let's make it a big deal. Let's get people talking. It was not a legit accident. I saw the video. It was a minor fender bender. The person who fell out of the thing stood up right away. If this was truly a bad accident, there would have been like ambulance. There was no ambulance. It was a ridiculous, oh, let's all like hold each other's hands and act like it's the end of the... It was fine. It was fine.
Gordon, you have to take in consideration it's a golf carts, okay? It's not like they were driving
Jackass?
Two vehicles.
They're fine.
Okay. However, it got serious once there was a report that there was glass in someone's eye, and the reason they had to move everything back was because, yes, the accident happened, but they're also trying to take glass out of Andrew Hudson's eye.
I think it was a little
He's
speck.
Barely seeing out of his
speck.
Eye. It's blurry. Did you? I couldn't even see it from the camera. I was like,
Hold on. I go for a run and like run like near dust and dust gets in my eye? Or a little sand pebble, which is the equivalent of glass, and you're like, oh, something's in my eye.
No.
And then you take
absolutely
15
not.
Seconds, you do this.
No.
And then you're
hope
fine.
You won't do that. Please don't
and then
do
you're
that.
Fine.
If you ever get glass in your eye, you will.
You're imagining like a giant shard of like 2x4 glass going in the eye. It was a little thing. It's like, oh, there's something here. Let me get this out. Okay, we're good. Let's go run 200 meters.
From what it seemed like, there were multiple pieces of glass. In his eye.
I think it's not that serious. And I think track and field fans and media are just like clamoring for some unique story out of a boring 200 meter prelim. Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, these races were completely boring. The big five all got through. There was no drama. Like, I guess you could argue Aaron Brown not making it through was a little weird. But Tobogo, yeah. Hughes, Lyles, Bednarik, Knighton. They all were jogging. They all were staring at each other, fist pumping across the finish line.
That was awesome, by the way.
But like,
I was watching this and I was like, are they having a whole conversation coming down this 100 meters?
Yeah.
And we're fist pumping at the end.
Noah Lyles was doing the bolt by like doing the shrug after he crossed the finish line. That's what Bolt does when in prelims. They were trying to recreate the Andre DeGrasse and Bolt stare at each other and point. They were all just trying to like, fun. We're 10x better than everyone else. The top five are going to get through. And we realize that. So the media and fans are like, there was a fender bender. Come on. Come on.
No.
Come
totally
on.
Disagree. Totally disagree. When there's glass involved in the eye, absolutely not.
Okay. But
absolutely.
All right, and I'll say this. Even if there was glass in the eye, which I don't think was that big of a piece of glass, and I don't think it was that detrimental because clearly he was fine and he ran. It was not even in the eye of the big one of the big five. It wasn't like it was in Tobogo's eyes or Bednarik's or Lyles or whoever.
So now we're saying it's not a big deal because it wasn't in like Noah Lyles' eye?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, Gordon. No. Like, Andrew Hudson is a human being here. No person should definitely have like glass in their eye.
Yes, but he was fine. I'm in the world where he's fine. If he actually was hurt and it was bad, then I don't say that take. Like, who cares if a legit injury happens to a non-top contender? But like, he was fine. Like, we knew the end of the story. The end of the story was he was fine. So that means at the beginning of the story, I can laugh at it. because I know the conclusion was he was fine.
Yeah, but he's still seeking medical attention, though. That's
medical attention is getting a Band-Aid. You get a Band-Aid, that's medical attention. Come on.
Oh, gosh, Gordon. Okay. Moving off from the golf cart.
Chat saying sometimes you need to keep your mouth closed. Some people are agreeing with me. Some people are not agreeing with me. But everyone, I'm just being honest, guys. He was fine. He was fine. He was fine. He was fine.
Okay. And as we're chatting, I'm just getting a message that Hudson advanced to the final after being protested. So that.
Oh, see. Okay. For the because my eye hurt.
I don't know if it was for. I don't know what it was for, but there was a protest and Andrew Hudson's in the final. Just got a message.
All right. Now that.
I don't know what it was for, Gordon.
That's what it's going to be for. That is what it's for. It's for, like, I had to deal with a situation that no one else had to deal with. So I should be given. I got screwed. Like, I got tripped up by the golf cart, is basically what he's saying. But can getting tripped up in a golf cart 30 minutes before your race be a reason for an advance, automatic advancement? That seems kind of crazy. Did the glass eye prevent him from running point two faster?
He probably couldn't see. I don't know if he stepped on the line. I don't know. I just, that's what was communicated as of right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I see that too. That makes it even more Fugazi in my opinion. I'm sorry. Yes, you can have the take that, like, let's all hold hands and be like, kumbaya, this is, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Okay.
Now, I will
moving
say,
off cart.
I will say,
go ahead.
This, I'm saying this from 1,000 miles away, so I really don't truly know, but this is just my opinion. So I could be completely wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I like Andrew Hudson, so, but come on. Come on.
Okay. Right, now I have a question for you.
I'll end it.
It's leaning towards your bets, okay? Are you going to bet that the U.S. sweeps? 1, 2, 3.
I should. If I could, I would.
How are you feeling with this, actually? How are you feeling about this 200?
I think if I could bet the sweep, I would. I do think that, obviously, we know Lyles is going to medal. So the question is Knighton and Bednarik better than Tobogo and Hughes? I think Hughes is clearly fifth in this pecking order here. And I think the question is, can Bednarik and Knighton beat Tobogo? You take Knighton over Tobogo, same age. Knighton has had a better 200-meter career so far than Tobogo. And then Kenny B has the experience of back-to-back silvers. So, yeah, I think USA sweeps. I think, yeah, USA sweeps for sure.
100%.
I mean, Kenny B's going to win, right?
So. I was trying to stump you there.
No, Kenny B's going to win.
I'm not changing that. Gordon. All right.
Kenny B's going to win. Noah Lyles gets second and Aaron Knighton gets third.
Interesting. Okay.
What do you think is going to happen?
Prediction. I'm feeling Noah Lyles, like I've been saying from the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy prediction. Come on. You're picking the fastest guy in the room.
So. But hey, if I'm going to be like, I'm betting my order.
You want to be
1, 2, 3. So. This is how I would do it. Noah Lyles. Okay. Knighton second.
Don't do it.
He looked incredible. The way he ran that turn. Goodness gracious. Amazing dry phase.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked strong. Probably. And the thing was, like, Hughes and DeGrasse were adding pressure and he even responded and was like, y'all aren't beating
me.
Like,
here?
I'm coming across this line. So Noah Lyles, Knighton.
Don't you dare do it. You're going to do it. You're just not going to say Bednarik to piss me off.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to Tobogo.
Yeah, you're going to do Tobogo. You know what? Be wrong. It's cool. Enjoy Tobogo.
Kenny B.
Kenny B fourth? Kenny B's not getting fourth.
Just missing it.
He's going to win the gold. If not, he'll medal. If not, he'll get fourth. If not, he'll get fifth. If not, he'll get sixth. Oh man. All right. Well,
interesting. Okay. So we're saying, you're saying America sweeps.
America sweeps.
Okay.
I think Sharika wins the two, and you think Gabby wins the two.
I think Gabby wins the two.
All right, let's keep going down the list. Other prelims went down. Men's 800. Talk a little bit about that. It was fast prelims, man. Like, it took 144.23 to qualify on time. 144.23 seems like a very fast time qualifier. Yeah. Three guys ran sub 144. Bryce Hopple got in on time. Wanyonyi looked good. Mula looked good. A-Rop looked good. I think Wanyonyi should be the favorite based on the way he looked and the way he's running this regular season. I do think, though, that Mula and Sajadi, the two Algerian guys, they're the wild cards that can screw up Wanyonyi's race plan. And then A-Rop, he's going to decide the race. He decides if they're going out in 52 seconds, 51 seconds, or 48 seconds. Because he's going to go right to the front. And it's going to be about who goes with A-Rop, if it's fast, if it's not. And I think there's just going to be a lot of carnage in that final 100 meters. Because I think we're going to see a fast final. I think we're going to see a 143 low type final. Maybe even a 142 high.
Okay, I think I'm in agreement with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm leaning more to the 142.
Ooh.
All right. That's what my gut's saying that right now.
I'll take that. Other prelims, men's 5,000 meter heats. So Jakob mentioned in his post-race interview after the 1500 that he was dealing with an illness.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, hold on. If you're sick, then why are you running the 5K? Like we find out about the illness after the final seems a little, I don't know, like, oh, it's very convenient to announce you're sick now. Now, maybe he is sick, but it seems kind of weird to mention you're sick at the very end of, like, do we hear he's sick if he wins gold? Probably not. I don't think so. But
no,
anyway,
we will not hear that.
We weren't sure if he's going to run the 5K. He does. He's in. He's fine. Americans Paul Chelimo and Abdi Habaner get through. Luis Grijalva of Guatemala, former Northern Arizona Lumberjack, who got fourth last year. He wins his heat. All the top dogs get through. There really is no weirdness that happened. We just know that Joshua Cheptegei, the 10K champion, decided to scratch. So you take him out, opens up another spot for potential medalists. You've got to think Jakob is the favorite. Question. I'm just trying, like, Katir, he's coming off of a 1500. He's good. I don't know. There's probably a list of 6 to 7 guys, I think, who can medal. And I can't predict what's going to happen because the unknown of Jakob, the wild cards of the Americans, wild card of Grijalva, the Ethiopians are very good. I'm just kind of clueless for this 5K. It's hard to put a read on it because you didn't really learn anything from these prelims.
No, you didn't. Just that the main people going through are going through. Yeah. That's the only thing I could take away.
And
all I can think about is your bet. I'm like, how are you going to handle this?
Well, I did make a bet. So I bet Arigawe to get gold, to win. So okay. I'm going all in on Arigawe of Ethiopia to win. I have a feeling that's not going to work. I have a feeling that's not going to hit. So I might do a double bet. I might bet either Abdi Hamid or Grijalva to medal. Because I just want to cheer for any of you guys. So I'm going to probably do that. So I'd probably pick Grijalva to medal. I think that'll be fun. So if I lose the Arigawe bet, I can make it the money back with Grijalva medaling. So that's probably what I'm going to do.
I like that.
Hammer throw. Canada's Cameron Rogers, formerly of Cal, won on her first throw.
Yep.
She threw it out there, 77 meters. No one passed it. And she held on to the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Deanna Price got third. USA got second. Casanova. How do you say her last name? apologies. I'm really bad. Casanovoid. Probably saying it wrong. So USA gets 2-3, gets some medals there. Long jump, Tentaglow. I had money on him to win. He gets the job done on the final jump. He had a jump.
Yeah.
He was in second on a tiebreaker and then passes the Jamaican in that final jump, Pinnock, Wayne Pinnock. Jamaica goes 2-3-4 in that event.
Gosh.
Pretty impressive there. So,
were you panicking at all?
Oh, the entire time. Because I was like, I'm going to lose on a tiebreaker. I just did a whole rant how I hate ties. And then I was about to lose on a tiebreaker. I was going to be, you got to be freaking kidding me.
And they would have to run 100 to break the tie.
I had to run 100. And I was ready for that. Seeing Tentaglow versus, but I think a Greece athlete versus Jamaican athlete in a 100 meter dash, I'm probably going to lose that bet. You know? So maybe that's a situation where I wouldn't want a 100 meter dash to solve the tiebreaker, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, good thing it's not in the rule book yet. So we're still good.
Good thing it's not in the rule book. So the results page is broken for some reason right now, but I'm doing an updated medal table we got. Right now, the top three countries are USA, Spain, and Jamaica. USA has 19 medals. Spain has – oh, wait. Let me sort it by total. By total. So by total medals, it's USA, Jamaica, and Ethiopia. USA has 19, Jamaica has 8, and Ethiopia has 6, Great Britain 5, Spain 4. And leading the gold category is USA with 7 gold. So USA, once again, going to win the medal count. What is it about America that's always being able to win the medal count?
We're just dominant.
Yeah.
Across a variety of events, you know?
And I will say this.
A particular discipline.
For all the non-Americans who say we have a competitive advantage because our population is so big, that's also a disadvantage because we are only allowed to send 3 athletes per event, right? So
right.
We are limited to the amount of medals we can win. I'm sure there's an event that USA could put like a group of 6 in there and then one of those 6 could find the medal, you know, like. There's people sitting at home on the couch in the U.S. who could have medaled at this championships if things went well. Yeah. Like Fred Curley could have maybe medaled in the 200. You never know. You see it all the time in different sprinting events. But USA, 19 medals so far. Getting the job done.
Getting the job done. Handling business.
Handling business. Great. What's going on tomorrow?
Well, the decathlon starts tomorrow. They will run the 100, they will long jump, throw the shot put, high jump, run the 400. We'll also have qualifications in the women's high jump and men's javelin. And Gordon's, the kickoff the relay.
Not good.
4x1s, can the USA get the stick around?
Probably not.
That's the biggest question going into the 4x1s. Then we'll have semifinals of the women's 800, and of course in the finals, for tomorrow, August 25th, it will be the women's triple jump, women's javelin, and the men and women's 200 meters. I'm excited for these 4x1s. I really am.
So here's my question. Here's the thing. For at least on the American side, and Jamaica doesn't have a problem with this. Jamaica is good regardless, so don't even talk about that. But for like the U.S., will Noah Lyles run the prelim? He probably won't, right? Because he has a 200 final. They're not going to have him run.
Yeah,
4x1 leg.
Probably not.
Yeah, right?
No.
So,
I don't know. It depends. If an athlete, let's just say in this scenario where they're like, hey, Noah Lyles, you get to decide if you want to run the prelim or not. I feel like it's up to Noah Lyles if he wants like to have that extra 100 like race underneath his belt, kind of get sharp for the 2. Awesome. If not, like, probably not. I feel like
I think he's not going to want to do it. He's definitely not going to run the prelim because he's like, I've run 3 100s. I've run 2 200s. I don't want to do another 100.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And
so
I don't blame him. But I think that could become a problem because now Noah Lyles is going to be doing – they're not going to have like a first run through of exchanges. Now, I guess you put Lyles on the anchor, so it's only you're screwing up one exchange, right? You're only screwing up the final pass and not like don't put him on the backstretch where you have to receive and hand off. You probably put that to Fred Curley on the backstretch is probably what they're going to do, I think. But it does get me a little concerned that now it'll be the first time when Noah Lyles gets the stick, he won't have that prelim practice round.
Yeah.
So.
I understand. But yeah, his focus is going to be in that 200. We obviously know the goals that he has going in. 19-1. The goal.
Yeah, he's not
world
doing that
record
today.
Is.
He's not doing that.
I've been saying it. I think he can.
I don't think he's going to.
I know we talked about it earlier.
I think that's coming next year, if anything, or coming in a random diamond league or like Prefontaine at the end of the year type thing. I just don't think it's happening after three 100s, two 200s. It's a lot of running. So it just seems like asking for a world record right now seems a little too much. He only ran 9.8 in the 100. It's not like he ran 9.6 in the 100, right? He ran 9.8. So I think world record, we need to pump our brakes. And of all people who loves to not pump the brakes on world records, when I thought Fred Curley would break the world record last year, I'm learning my lesson. Like, world records don't grow on trees in the sprints, so...
No, they don't.
Let's pump the brakes on potential world record. If Noah Lyles is breaking the world record, you know what that means? That means Kenny B is breaking the world record. So
Eric Gordon.
If Kenny B ran the world record, if Noah Lyles ran 19.18, then Kenny B ran 19.16. How hilarious would that be? Obviously, it wouldn't happen, but man.
No, remember, because Kenny B's winning this 200, so.
Yeah.
If Noah Lyles is putting out there that he's running 19-1 and he feels like his training has led him to this point to believe that he could, and if you have Kenny B winning, then...
Oh, wait, let's do the math. Actually, let's actually figure out exactly what he's going to run. He said he was going to run 9.65 in the 100, right?
I believe so, somewhere along. I just remember 19.10. That was the number that stood out to me.
Yeah, so he ran 9.65 in 100, but he actually ended up running 9.82. So he actually ran 101.76% of his goal. So what is that? He says he's going to run 19.10. Is that what he said he was going to run?
Yes.
So 19.10 divided by 101.7. Oh, wait, multiply it by 101.7. Sorry. He's going to run 19.44. Based on his coming short of his prediction, he came of his 100. Him coming short of his 19.10 prediction will be him running 19.44. That's probably actually what he's going to run. He's going to run 19.44. That'll be hilarious. I think that's exactly what he runs, 19.44. I can see that. That seems like a realistic winning time. 19.44 for him?
Yeah.
For sure. It's still fast.
19.10.
19.44.
I want a world record, and I want it to be Noah Lyles. That gets it.
Yeah. I just want Kenny B to
win. A woman can dream, too, right? Like.
Yeah, you can dream. Dreams are allowed in the podcast. This is a pro-dreaming podcast.
Now I just need that dream to become reality. Then I'll be good.
All right. Any other thoughts?
No, I'm just excited for 4x1s tomorrow.
4x1s.
Woo!
4x1 time. Can USA get the stick around? Can the Americans? Oh, with like, I guess Sha'Carri wouldn't run the 4x1, right? Either, nope. Yeah. So, and Gabby, if she's on the 4x1, that means they're replacing two legs from the prelims to the finals. That'll be a lot. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. If Gabby gets top two in this women's 200, they have to put Gabby on the 4x1, right?
I feel like there's so much politics that goes into this.
But if she goes, if she goes there and runs like 21.6 or 21.5, or 21.6, let's say 21.6, They're going to be like, yeah, no, we don't want you on our four. That'd be ridiculous. You put on the second leg and you put Shaqiri on the anchor. Like, that's the perfect situation.
So what would your dream 4x1 be?
Order?
Sure.
Shaqiri anchor. Gabby second. I mean, I would probably want Tonisha Terry on there. I'll probably put Tonisha Terry third. And then Brittany Brown first.
We had the right people. I just would have swapped them. Swapped TT Terry and Brittany Brown. I would have had TT Terry lead that 4x1 off.
Well, I just thought it would be cool for TT Terry to hand off to Shaqiri because they trained together. So.
Oh, I guess that's true.
They're used to it.
Yeah.
They got that sixth sense. They know. Like, oh, yeah. Coach, hand off. So, they might be roommates, too. Maybe they're staying in the same dorm.
Who knows?
They can
maybe
go over to the game plan and map. All right. Like and subscribe. Thanks, Liv. Thank you, Greg, for producing. Thank you, people, for listening.
Thanks, Greg.
3 p.m. Oh, final thing. Oh, my bets. I'm down. So...
we didn't go over your bets.
Yeah. So going into today, I was down 275. Now I'm only down 225. And so here are my bets. My bets are, I don't even know who these people are. Povia to medal in the women's triple jump. Muse to medal in the women's javelin. Bednarik to medal in the men's 200. And then women's 200, whatever's the best bet. But I think the order is going to be Sharika, Gabby, Shaqiri. So whatever gives me the best odds, I'll make that bet, whether it's picking Sharika to win or Gabby or Shaqiri to medal. I'll take whatever gives me the best odds. So,
all right. Stay tuned tomorrow. Hopefully you'll be up.
26 bets down, about 19 to go. I'm still alive.
You're still there. You're not like 400. Yeah, down, I mean, like, I'm like, I'm okay, just... 225. That's
not
doable.
It's not I terrible. Get one win and I'm even. If I get the first win tomorrow, the women's triple jump hits, I'm boom, positive 200, positive 25 bucks right away. That's all I need.
Yeah.
So, all right. Like and subscribe. 3 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you for joining into us. Thank you to our sponsor, Wonderful Pistachios. See you tomorrow. Peace.